across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, following that coming out episode of Ellen, TV celebrities are queuing up to burst out of the closet. We'll name the names. Mick's got details of the latest drop that's got drinkers foaming at the mouth. We'll ask the question, what's all that about? And sure, crime is on the increase, but what about stupid crime? We'll play prize dicks and radio gladiators, award the Fumio for the kids. We've got Mick and the Giant Peach, and joining us live, it's those two young chaps who go by the name of Savage Garden. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that gets Wilson Tuckey reaching under the counter. Martin Malloy.
Cheryl Crow, keen on some fun.
Good afternoon, Australia. It's Martin Malloy, last one for the week. Right around the nation, with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here today. Just one of thousands of Australians who have embraced new bra magic. It's Mick Malloy.
Bring it on.
Rather laid-back Friday edition, because you realise, Mick, it is Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, and that means there's a piping hot, as yet unspoiled weekend on the way, and it also means it's time to put the week to bed. Prestigious Fumio to whoever it was that's had us talking through our pants the most since Monday. The Fumio this week brought to you by the new Risby Frisbee. Now you can avoid the fate of political protester Malcolm Risby knocked ass over on Wednesday by John Sharp's speeding limo simply by writing your objections on the Risby Frisbee and bouncing it off the windshield as Sharpie speeds by at 70 km. Remember, at Martin Malloy, we're always thinking, and sometimes with our brains. Mick, the Fumio nominees are
Nikki Buckley, the pregnant TV presenter whose tummy is now so large, many viewers accidentally tuned out a Sale of the Century this week after confusing it for question time in the Senate.
David Duchovny, who was detained by Canadian customs officials who found traces of cocaine on his credit card. Duchovny escaped prosecution when he produced a letter from his bank showing they had recently upped his limit to 2 kilos.
Deeper Blue, the new super chess computer that is so sophisticated it can now consider 200 million chess moves a second and still download nude pictures of Pamela Anderson without batting an eyelid.
Wow, that's powerful.
Pauline Hanson, MP, a group of federal ministers today vowed to fight and destroy Miss Hanson's ideas the moment she actually comes up with some. Oh, aside from that piss-off foreigners one.
Yeah, that was a beauty.
But that's someone else's idea, isn't it?
I think so.
It's been floated before. Mm. But no, the Fumio goes to
Ellen DeGeneres!
Yes, the US sitcom star who started coming out of the closet, I think it was back in the Reagan era, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah.
Obviously snagged her trousers, but finally struggled free on US television just last night. And Mick, so successful was the coming out episode of Ellen, many others are following her lead.
Good evening, and welcome to Nightline. Tonight, Howard releases 10-point WIC plan. Tony Blair swept to victory in a landslide. And I am as gay as a French trombone. But first to Indonesia, where the consul... Hello? Yes, of course it's true. No, I'm not just putting it on for cheap publicity. Listen, I'm free, you see? All right, well, what do I have to do? Put on this enormous moustache? There, how does that look? Not convinced?
Jim.
Well, check out these arseless leather pants. How do you like them apples? All right. I've never felt so free. Music. Absolutely. Fab. Ulyss. Next up, sport. Absolutely.
Oh my God, go to the standby program!
Hi, this is Pete Smith, and I'm
gay! Sort of free, that's the Bodines here at Martin Malloy. We've had Pete Smith's kids on the phone. It was a joke.
Indeed it was.
And, you know, it's easy to forget that Pete Smith has kids.
Mm.
He has, like, three grown-up kids.
Mm.
The Copperart kids.
They are. Little kids in bow ties. You can't miss them.
All right. Now, what are we doing? Oh, it's Friday. It's time, I think, to ask this question.
What's all that about?
Tone, we've covered a couple of nutty stories from London lately, like, you know, about plans to develop seafood ice cream and wacky savoury treats, but check this out.
Yeah.
Alcoholic milk has gone on sale in Britain.
Oh, it's not the election.
No, that's too
big a fish for this program.
Yeah, put that to one side for a minute and just get to grips with alcoholic milk, would you?
Alcoholic milk?
Moo! Described as an alcoholic dairy cooler. You're interested now, aren't you?
Oh, yes, please.
Has an alcohol content of 5% and is available in strawberry and banana flavours. Mm. And I just think it's fantastic. Alcoholic milk. You know where they must be getting it from, don't you?
Where's that?
Drunk cows. No.
Is that how they do it?
I think it is. That's the only way I can see. They grab a herd of cows and just keep plying them with alcohol until they're all off their nut. I drove past a paddock the other day. The trough was chock-a-block with ice and coldies while the cows all stood round the paddock with their underpants on their head. Some were so drunk they went out and got branded. Woke up the next morning with a hangover, looked down to discover a thumping big Indian chief on the right shoulder, spent the rest of the afternoon going, oh, God, what have I done?
That'll teach you.
Some spent the night in the lockup. Others showed off by writing their own name in milk. And one nutbag was up all night building a huge ramp, then got on a motorbike and told anyone who'd listen he was going to jump over the moon. Didn't like he was in the mood to take any crap from the cat with a fiddle either, frankly.
No.
I saw five cows go through a drive-through bottle shop in a Daihatsu Charade.
Did you?
And a couple of others had gotten a fight out the front of the casino after being refused entry. They can't even stand up straight to sleep. They're out like a light, but they're still lurching from side to side, letting off the occasional lager bomb.
And punching on.
Exactly.
It always ends in hoof to cuffs, doesn't it, when those cows get drunk?
Hoof to cuffs. We've coined a new phrase on that program. Yeah. I'll be hoof to cuffs in a minute. Anyway, what was I saying? Alcoholic milk.
Yes.
Well, all I can say is, Tone, bring on breakfast. Nah, half a dozen Weet-Bix and I am anybody's.
Ooh.
Forget Kieran Perkins. Molly Meldrum's name will be appearing on milk cartons soon. It's good news for toddlers too.
Yeah.
They'll be able to kick back in the bassinet right off their bald little noggins. I saw one the other day. It obviously honked onto a bottle or two because he stuck his ass out the side of the pram and mooned me as he went by.
Oh, there's no need for that.
Exactly. What about Gracie?
Hmm.
He turned up this morning absolutely reeking of milk. Look. He's still got one of those little telltale milky moustaches. Must have been sculling, eh? No chance of your alcoholic milk ever straying beyond the use-by date. You should have seen this morning.
Yeah.
He spent 3 hours making a huge pyramid out of empty milk cartons.
Did he?
I tried to stop him, and you know what he did?
What?
Smashed a carton on the edge of the table and threatened to cut me from ear to ear. I'm telling you, Tone, he can't handle his milk. He cannot handle his milk.
I've said that.
Mm, by the way, how are your dancing lessons with the cat going, Tone?
Me?
Any headway?
Oh, look, it's not really progressing, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, whop a bit of this stuff in his bowl, put it out in the back porch and watch him lick it up. He'll be doing the Macarena on midday with Kerri-Anne before you know it. You wait. When you rock up to work tomorrow, the cat and his mates will be in tow, forming a huge mambo conga line that'll snake a couple of hundred yards down the street behind you.
Well, there's a breeze.
Oh, Step, that's Whitney Houston here at Martin Molloy, and, you know, I think it's about time. It's been a while, Mick.
Mm.
We got anything for the kiddies?
Yeah, I think we're sitting on a little something.
Okay. Hey, kids, if you only see one movie this year, make sure it's Mick and the Giant Peach.
Oh, who could that be?
Hi, Mick. You don't know me, but I'm a giant peach, and I don't have anywhere to live.
Stop your bawling, you stupid peach. What's your problem?
Nobody loves me, Mick. I've tried to be a good peach, I really have, but everywhere I go, people stop and stare and just tease me till I cry. I don't like it, Mick. I don't like it.
There, big fella. Come on, you'll be okay. The only reason people point and stare is because, well, As peaches go, you're a bit of a fatty boomba. You know, bit of a sumo peach. You're hogging the fruit bowl. And what's that you're wearing?
Nothing! I'm in the nutty!
Well, you better come inside then. I'll rummage round in the wardrobe. I think I might have an old pair of Laurie Oakes pants lying around somewhere.
Hurrah!
Come here and give us a cuddle, you big, fat, stupid peach.
I love you, Mick. I really, really love you.
Oh, hey, that's enough. Jeez, for a giant peach, you're all hands.
This is the story of a touching relationship between man and giant peach, who somehow managed to get involved in all manner of adventure along the way.
Oi, barman, two more Jim Beams and Coke.
Sorry, Mick, the giant peach has had enough to drink.
Go and get stuff, you poof!
Hey, shut up, giant peach. I'll handle this.
You can get stuff too.
Look, buddy, the giant peach has got a couple of personal problems at the moment, if you know what I mean. He's just letting off a little bit of steam.
More pretzels, asswipe!
Look, he can hardly walk. He's vomited on the pool table, grabbed a barmaid on the breast. At least five people walked out when he started lighting his own farts. And if you look over there by the cigarette machine, you'll see the words giant peach written in urine.
Ah, oh, that could have been anybody.
Yeah, so rack him up, butt muncher.
Look, just shut up, giant peach, or I'll kick your furry ass out of here myself. Do you hear?
She's quick, call the cops. The giant peach has just set Mick on his ass.
Get up and fight, you mincing queen.
Security, grab that giant peach.
I'm going to spit on your face.
You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll wonder what kind of drugs we were on when we decided to base an entire film around the antics of a giant peach. Whatever, just go and see Mick and the Giant Peach, out now at a cinema near you.
Oh, we're done for, giant peach. The cops are on our tail. We can't cross the border because they're bound to check the car for fruit. We've got no option but to drive off this cliff like Thelma and Louise.
Is that why I'm wearing a giant scarf and sunnies?
Yes, giant peach, I'm afraid so. Now come here and give us one last cuddle.
I love you, Mick.
giant peach.
Yeah?
Get your hand off my ass.
Sorry.
All right, let's go.
Giant peach, stop sticking your furry ass out the window.
Sorry.
Malloy, another one bites the dust in the next hour. Well, prize dicks is happening.
Yep.
Oh, hello to Dave of Canberra, who was our prize dick yesterday.
Was indeed.
And also, I think the young chaps from Savage Garden are coming in. Daniel and Darren.
All right.
Oh, the young people can't get enough of their work.
They can't. They'll be screaming young girls out the front of the building.
Certainly will. And also, I think Pete Smith is coming out of the booth screaming young girls out the front of the building.
Indeed.
And yeah. Radio Gladiators is coming up, and I just like to plug the Fast Show. It's been on for 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
The critics can't stand it.
That's a good sign. That's always a good sign.
It's on SBS at 8:30 Saturday nights. It's a bloody funny show from England, which the critics just can't get a handle on. Here's one of your snooty kind of cappuccino-addled inner city Sydney television critics in the Telegraph, anonymous, of course, yesterday, saying, even Benny Hill at his misogynistic, predictable worst was funnier. Sketches that were old when Dave Sullivan went to war. and gets the names of all the characters wrong in the review.
Yeah.
Like, you know, quite content to just bag the show, but can't be bothered actually getting anything right when they're describing it. But there's lots of action going on. You've got the fat, sweaty coppers.
Mm.
That's a fantastic bit of work.
Yep.
Pulling out the Kit Kat bars for identification and commandeering souvlaki vans. You've got a kind of mystifying sort of foreign news service where they can find about 700 different uses for the phrase Boutros, Boutros, Ghali. They use it to say hello, to say goodnight, to throw the weather.
That sounds like fun.
That's good. And then there's a bloke called Ron Manager, a football kind of commentator who just keeps using the word uncategorisable. And coughing Bob Fleming.
Oh, I like his work.
He's a sports commentator who just has coughing fits whenever the camera's completely normal when the camera's off.
Yeah.
As soon as the camera's on. Last week had such a big coughing fit, he fell off a cliff. This is really funny stuff.
I know. You don't have to tell me. I didn't write it.
Even Benny Hill at his predictable worst was funnier.
Mm. So give it a go. SBS, Saturday nights, 8:30. Might take a couple of weeks to get the hang of it. Sure. Because there's lots of running jokes. Mm. And I hope they're going to play. I've had a look at the second series, and that's even funnier.
Wow.
So if people don't support it now, we won't get to that one.
Okay.
Anyway, enough plugging other people. What's going on in here, Sancio? We were referring to Bra Magic earlier in the program. What is Bra Magic? Just out of interest.
Bra Magic is something that you can order. Kate Fish has been advertising it, and it's sort of pouches of silicone that you slip outside your bra.
So it's silicone implants on the outside.
On the outside, and they boost your cups like 2 or 3. There's a noticeable difference.
Really?
Bra Magic promises that it will change your life.
Mm. And have you gotten to any of your Bra Magic work yourself, Sans?
Not as yet, Mick. Yeah. I'll let you know, though.
I thought it was a magic bra. I got in a lot of trouble for just going up to women and rubbing their bra, expecting some kind of genie to appear, and all that's happened so far is I've been hauled off by the cops. Where's the magic in that?
People around the building have probably observed, I have no bottom, so I'm wearing arse magic today. What do you think, Mickey? Is that looking?
Hubbada bubbada, look at that.
Does that woman on Melrose Place have lip magic? They're on the outside.
But they are indeed.
So what you're saying is it's just silicone breast implants on the outside.
Yeah, you put them on the outside of... Oh, not on the outside of your bra, inside your bra.
On the outside of your top.
Just staple them on.
Just staple a couple of packets of peas to the outside of your dress and scoot off down the street. And you're protected by Bra Magic.
I'm trying to think of a clean way to say what David Duchovny's packing, but it's just not happening.
This is Martin Malloy.
Thanks to Martin Malloy, thanks to Coca-Cola, and for the final time this week, Pete, say the words.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Sansi's popped out of the room, but she was trying to explain about Bra Magic more to me, because I think it's important for us to know and get a handle on this. Says it comes in 2 instalments.
In 2 instalments?
They just send you one or something in a tube, and then they go, you better send us the rest of the money, buddy. You're going to be looking pretty darn stupid.
Is that right?
Yeah. You're not getting your other Norg. Oh, where do you get that payment? I think that's what she was saying.
Where's she gone?
I don't know. She's gone out to install it, I'm assuming. Now, I've woken up this morning, Mick, and look at this headline on the paper. Just read out the word for me.
Crime!
Crime! We're losing the fight, Australia. Crime's on the increase. Now, you'll notice that the word crime is not preceded by the word stupid.
That's obviously an oversight.
Yes, because we love stupid crime here at Martin Malloy.
Oh, we
and
love it.
It's been a fantastic week for stupid crime. Let's just run through some of the cases we've had. Firstly, the fart feud. I think people have heard about this. The winds of war. The two neighbours who are at each other. Yeah. Well, one neighbour claims that two blokes living downstairs are deliberately running up the stairs and breaking wind at his door and running away again.
Yeah.
Do the IRA do that? Sounds like one of their tricks.
They send a coded message before they let rip.
Gee. But that's real stupid crime. Mm. It hasn't gone to court because the police want them to come to an agreement themselves. Mm. That is the, you know, what are the police thinking? And deny Australia the funniest court case of all time? You know, I don't mind my taxpayers' money being spent on that court case.
Not at all.
I'll be there front row.
Indeed.
Because everyone would have to keep a straight face. That'd be fantastic. Okay, we've had that. We've had, in Victoria, Chicken Man. Up on a cherry picker, banging on the first floor window of the Premier of Victoria's office, which isn't at the casino. Well, that's a surprise. While he's on a phone doing a radio interview, what fantastic timing from Chicken Man.
Brilliant.
That's just, there's a medal. You know, why isn't that sort of thing awarded with the Order of Australia?
No, I don't know.
Because I said this yesterday, no other country in the world could, like, even a state or indeed a national leader be on the phone. Imagine Bill Clinton on the phone in the White House, cherry picker up at the window. Do we know who Chicken Man is?
Yeah, it's John Brumby, leader of the opposition. He'd locked himself out of his office.
It's the only way he can raise his profile. Here's some stupid crime. Is adultery a crime? I see it can lead to court proceedings. Mm. I don't know if it's illegal.
I don't know.
But anyway, a wronged wife forced her adulterous husband to parade through the streets of their hometown, this is in England, wearing placards admitting his infidelities. Mm. He had to wander around the streets on one side, a board, you know, sandwich board style, saying, "I have been unfaithful to my wife at least 8 times. And then on the back, "I am sorry, darling." And he's just wanted, apparently been cheered by people as he's walked up the street.
I think he had a shopping list on the back.
Did he?
Made him, yeah.
He's up to his old tricks, though. I saw footage of him leaving the house with, "I'm at it again, Darl," on the front, and "Core, check the tits on her" on the back. So, you know, he's got to be taught.
Things aren't looking good. I saw him shopping for an Etch-a-Sketch. So I think he's planning to repeat a bend.
All right. So there's a few stupid crimes. You got one there, Mickey?
This is one that made me laugh. This is from the Netherlands. Police have arrested a 32-year-old thief in the course of a housebreak with his 4-year-old son in tow. The child, who lives with his mother, was visiting the father for a few days when the father decided to go out in a burglary. Took the kid with him.
It's a work experience for the youngster.
A bit of quality time with the old man, do you know what I mean? There's one kid who's going to slay him in show and tell next week.
"Let me tell you about my best friend."
They're going to have to get him a little jumper to wear on his head when the old man goes into court.
Oh, get him started early.
Absolutely.
And I think we're going to open the Martin Molloy crime files. Mick and myself are quite prepared to comb over, commissioner style, and we want to hear about stupid crime you know of, have heard about, have been the victim of, have encountered in your daily events. Now, look, we're not looking for big stuff. Mm. We're looking for small bits of stupid crime. When we've done this in the past, we've had, I'm trying to think, we had blokes working on a building site. In comes a guy with what looked like a gun, holds up the place, towel falls off his hand, not a gun, bit of a broken toilet seat.
That's right. We've talked of the guy who took tranquilizers before he robbed a bank and fell asleep in the progress.
Yeah, it's an old Keith Moon trick, that one.
There it is indeed.
And we've had, of course, the bloke who tried to attach a chain to his axle of his car, and then to a handy bank, sort of like American Graffiti style, drove away, pulled the whole bumper off the car, and he's panicked and driven away, and of course the bumper's got his rego plate on it, so it's been pretty easy to track him down.
Yep.
That's the kind of thing we're chasing. Let's open the Martin Molloy stupid crime files. Do we have a prize? Yes, you'll win a Sanyo Performax upright vacuum cleaner. It's the one with the 5-stage filtration system. That's 5 stages, a powerful 900 watts, and protective bumpers. You have to get this registered, do you? You've got to get the plates put on this upright vacuum. It's so powerful, it can suck the honeycomb out of a crunchy bar. That's how good it is. What about the Sanyo Tabura totally hands-free cordless phone? We'll throw that in as well. Call us now. Tell us about stupid crime, real-life stuff. 1-800-657-657. Nicky French, Total Eclipse of the Heart here at Martin Molloy, the program that's always running late.
Yep.
Radio Gladiators, today we're opening the stupid crime files once again, canvassing the nation for evidence of actual real-life stupid crime going on, possibly in your neighbourhood. Who's going first? Mick.
Brad is. How are you, Brad?
How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Tell us about the stupid crime.
Well, it happened in Western Australia in a town called Port Hedland.
Right.
Yes.
Guy was going to rob this jewellery store after it closed. He thought he'd grab a brick right through the window, but it bounced off the window, come back, smacked him in the head, knocked him out.
Oh, fantastic. And when he woke up, did he try again?
Oh, I don't think he got carted away, I think.
Was it a bouncy brick or bouncy glass?
Bouncy glass.
You've got to install that bouncy glass if you're a jeweller these days.
That's incredible. I've never heard of that. The brick's just like a boomerang. Just come back and scond him on the noggin.
Yes. Gee, okay. I hear the same thing happened to Graham too. He's never recovered. Have we got... Well, let's follow Brad with Janet. Are you there, Janet?
Yeah.
And have you got stupid crime happening?
I sure did.
Oh, okay, you've been the victim yourself.
I have, yeah. I was out shopping one day and I was in the bathroom there and someone stole my purse out of my bag. Mm. Then I went back in to look for it and couldn't find it, looked in the garbage and there's all my paperwork in the bin, minus the purse with all my money amongst all the paperwork.
Oh, so they They were just after the purse, do you think? Was it a good purse?
Yeah, it was a pretty good purse. But I went back out and bought another one anyway with the money that they'd left.
And then I think they later pulled over an armoured van with $1 million in it just because they liked the look of the van. It's a top drive.
Yeah, it just took the van, hey?
You can't go past the armour guard. That'll last you.
Needed a good weekender.
Yeah. All right, that's stupid crime in action. Thanks, Janet. I think Mark, the first of two Marks. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, mate, I am.
What's happening?
Oh, well, listen, mate, years ago when I went to a university in Sydney, we used to live on campus, right? And one afternoon we found all our jocks had been stolen off the line.
All your jocks?
Yeah, all our underwear and all that. And it wasn't just the guys, it was the girls as well.
Right, so this would be one of those university panty raids.
No, I don't know what it was, mate, but the next morning we got them all back. They were left on our front doorstep in a can. We had a cannery on the university, and someone had flogged all the underwear and canned them all, and then labelled it all with all our names and put them back there.
Oh, that is brilliant. So they've stolen the pants, broken into the cannery, packed the underpants into cans, labelled. That's just genius.
Oh, you should have seen everyone looking for a can opener so we can go back to our studies.
Mel Colston opened the front door to find a 44-gallon drum.
Oh, pants and a can. What a fantastic idea. All right, thanks very much, Mark. Let's speak to another Mark. You there, Mark, too?
Yeah, here, guys.
How are you?
Not too bad.
Now, what's going on? Are you a victim or a perpetrator of stupid crime?
I just know of a stupid crime.
Oh, okay. Tell us about it.
I've got some friends. They just go down the local shopping centre car park. They look around for an unlocked car with the old nice fluffy sheepskin seat covers.
Yes.
And they whack a couple of raw eggs underneath the cover and then kick back nearby and wait for the owner to return.
Oh, fiendish. Absolutely fiendish. So it's a delayed egging booby trap. Oh, there's so much going on. Do they take, do they take offence to a particular type of car seat cover? People have got to learn to get rid of those sheepskin covers.
They like the well-dressed guy in the old Italian suit.
Oh, yeah. And I like, you say they kick back. How does that work? Have they got a deck chair set up? Sunnies. Yeah,
a couple of stubbies.
Across the road, sitting in a chair, stroking a white cat like a Bond villain.
Sometimes they go for the double wing, and they tape one in behind the accelerator, so after they've cleaned themselves up, they take off and they got them again.
No, that's just evil. That's going too far. All right, thanks very much, Mark. Yes, I think we're proving this headline.
You asked for it.
Crime is on the increase. We're losing the fight against canned pants and eggings. Have we got Chris on the line? You there, Chris?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Chris. Where are you calling from?
Endeavour Hills.
All right. Is it racked with criminal activity?
Well, this was many years ago, and it was actually in Mentone.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, who was then my boyfriend, we were out getting some petrol, and his mate was in the back, and he noticed some batteries stacked around the back of the petrol station, and his car wasn't working because he needed a battery. So he said, let's nick round. I'll grab one of those and put it in. So he opens the back door, sits down, he's got the battery sitting on his lap. We're about 5 minutes up the road, screams come from the back seat. They were only stacked at the back because they were leaking. He burnt his brand new black stretch trousers, which were in fashion then. He ruined my husband's back car seat and quite a dangerous injury to himself. So time didn't pay.
We probably don't need details of that injury.
No, you don't.
But the stretch pants were completely ruined.
Yes, they were. Oh, and that's been my secret for about 20-something years.
Well, you've come out of the closet like Ellen DeGeneres today.
I have.
Does it feel better?
It does.
Yeah. Mm. You know what? This makes me think, though. I wish, that crimes like this were reported just so you could see the reenactment on Crime Stoppers.
Yeah. You wouldn't have liked to have seen the agony he was in, believe me, guys.
That would be fantastic. Thank you very much, Chris. And finally, we've got Sean, who knows of stupid crime. Are you there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tell us what happened, Sean.
I read this in my local paper today.
Oh, yeah. Whereabouts is where are you calling us from?
Point Clare on the Central Coast.
Okay. Let us know what's going on up there.
Okay. It's the story's entitled Man Wearing Corset Fine. I'll just read you the story.
Yeah, okay. Give it to us.
A Saratoga man received a $600 fine for offensive behaviour after pulling into a fast food restaurant at Erina in late March. I think it's McDonald's.
Right.
The only one there.
Okay.
Gosford Magistrate Errol Considine was told the man was wearing a pair of torn jeans, a black net top, and a leather and lace corset when interviewed by police. It gets better. Behind the net top, he had several magazine clippings of nude females. Police were called after diners reported seeing the man's testicles hanging from the jeans. When spoken to about his dress and behaviour, he said, "I've been laying on the ground trying to fix my bike and it's hard to keep them in." A police statement of facts tendered to the court said, "The man, he's been given 1 month to pay the fine."
That's sensational. There's too much going on in that story. So,
All right,
I can accept the testicle business could be explained by lying on your back fixing a car, but how do you explain the pictures of nude women down behind the fishnets?
I don't know. He's been busted for something else. He was driving without a licence, and his excuse for that was, "I was getting my confidence back after an accident."
Well, there's a lot going on, and how many calls do we get from Gosford of stories like this?
No.
Okay, is that our winner, though? We've got Brad with the bouncing brick. We've got Janet with the purse robbery. We've got Mark, pants on a can. Mark 2, eggs under the car seat covers. Chris with the ruined stretch trousers. And Sean with, well, you just heard it. Oh, I don't know. I think it's down to pants on a can or the story we just heard, Mickey. Gracie, you chose.
Come on, Gracie.
Sean! Our last caller gets it by a nose!
Well, I've got a vacuum.
You've
I'll clean up this town.
Good on you. I think this is probably the only vacuum that could do that. It's the Sanyo Performax. And you've got the Sanyo Tabura, totally hands-free cordless phone.
Oh, unreal.
Thanks for taking place. Hey, the bloke in the story wasn't you, was it, Sean?
No.
Okay, just testing.
Tucked away safely.
All right, keep the long trousers on if you can get them out of the can. Thanks for taking part, everybody. We'll be back in the next hour with those chaps from Savage Garden. Martin Malloy's The Truth, another chance to join the ranks of our very own prize dicks. And next up, Savage Gardener here, all thanks to Coca-Cola. It's those Rembrandts. I'll be there for you. It's Martin Malloy. It's the second hour, and our guests are here, these two young blokes. They're currently at number one on pretty much every chart you can find anywhere in the world. Their self-titled debut album is the biggest to come out of Brisbane since Agro's last one. They're Darren Hayes and Daniel Jones. You probably know them as Savage Garden. Gents, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
What are you, the biggest guys in music these days?
I think we have the largest waistlines, or one of us does. No, I don't know. I guess so.
We're happy, I'll tell you that. We're very happy.
How did it happen? Talk us through it. Well, I know you're just a couple of blokes wandering around. Next thing you know, it's all happening. Oh.
We met about 5 years ago and said, hey, let's write some songs. And it was the best idea both of us ever had. And eventually led to interest from recording contracts.
Yes.
I mean, we sent out, 150 record demo tapes. We had 149 rejections. One sort of picked up, and here we are today. So.
Now, take us back 5 years ago. What, were you in some kind of band on the Gold Coast, am I reading?
It was a Peter Allen covers original.
Was it really? It never says the name in any of the articles. I noticed that. No, I'm thinking, was it Guy Leach's Iron Man band?
No, it was really bad Australian rock covers. We were called Red Edge, we were called Crush, we were called lots of different names. And, you know, we sang songs that, to this day, I don't know the words to. Things like K-San. We're like, last train out of... Brisbane, Sydney's almost gone. But, I mean, look, for me, it was like the first thing I'd ever done. Daniel's been in band since he was like 13.
Yeah.
13? What kind of band were you in at 13?
I used to sneak in the back door of these venues because, of course, you have to be over 18 to some of them.
Right.
Just really bad Metallica covers, believe it or not.
Oh, yes. Now, of course, you're, what, 23-ish? So you've really struck success late on for an Australian band.
Well, we're kind of veterans at it, you know.
We've got about 2 years left, we figure.
At 23, are you jaded? Are you cynical about the whole industry? Have you seen too much?
No. I had to think about it. No, it's good fun.
But obviously a lot of sharks, a lot of sleazy record company types have been
lurking. Hey, you leave
around
my family out of this.
And how do you work out your travel? Do you just pick up the paper and go, hey, shit, our single's number 4 in Sweden. Let's get our buns over there.
Na book, na. Yeah, to be honest, it's a bit scary. The next, sort of October, we're sort of mapped out. But, you know, this is our shot and everybody wants what we've got at the moment. I think if you're a musician, you want this shot and this is it, and you can't plan when it happens. And it's a little crazy at the moment, but we're up for it.
We're handling it fine. But I think actually getting to meet some of these people who have bought out music, That's right. A good thing, because we actually have something in common now.
And who would that be, for example?
My Auntie Cheryl. Yeah. She really likes our album.
She's great. My mum's got all her stuff.
She's good, isn't she?
The axe herself, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
She was in a Metallica cover band.
I've got the bootlegs of Auntie Cheryl in the bathroom. The old bathroom tapes are pretty good.
Now, speaking of bootlegs, isn't it your first single, I Want You, wasn't that played in American radio before it was even released as a single? Didn't someone actually...
Yeah. It's a DJ who came out from Texas to Australia when I Want You was out and picked it up and took it back to Texas and started playing it.
Right.
And it hadn't been released throughout America. And all of a sudden, a chain of like 70 radio stations hopped on board playing this song. And of course, it was really easy for us to go over to New York and sign a deal, you know.
The first time we stepped into America, it was like there were 70 stations playing it, and we pretty much had the pick of record companies, which is, you know, here we had to sort of, you know, really fight for a deal, and over there it was fantastic,
So we actually want to meet this guy we still haven't met yet.
Those statistics, it was the first time there's been, a single at number one, the album at number
two. Two guys,
first
time, two one, guys with black hair, one with blonde
hair. Yeah, that's all bullshit, isn't it? Ted Mulry would have had albums, singles, everything at number one at the same time.
I'm sure Kamal's pulled out a few of those statistics as well.
And, of course, the single I Want You, weren't you kept off the top spot by the Macarenas for a while there?
You said the word.
That still hurts.
I believe so. I don't know. And the funny thing, our next single, I think Moon and that there was an Easter Macarena, and I was it's a curse.
How's that Mother's Day Macarena coming?
Oh, it's got to be gold.
We're getting that one out for Sunday.
The Queen's birthday is not too far away either.
Excellent. Guys, can you stick around for more piercing insights with us?
Absolutely. I want to invent the Pauline Macarena, so let's get that happening.
I don't like it.
This is Martin Malloy, the gents from Savage Gardener here. Want to back announce your own song there?
Truly, madly, deeply. Sausage Gardener.
Who have you run into? You mentioned running into people you admire. Who else have you
Jim
run into?
Jim Carrey we ran into in
LA. Yeah. Jim was in the trailer next to us, and we're like, going, cable guy! And I don't think he liked
it. So we annoyed him really quickly.
He didn't come out and say hello, but he waved again. You know the little kid from Jerry Maguire?
Oh,
He was really cool.
You met him?
Yeah, man. That's,
that's as good as
part of our celebrity status, really.
You guys have been doing
Rosie
some hardcore hobnobbing.
He was the only person we could intimidate. So we crowded over him.
Hi, kid. What about remixes for America? Because I know, what's happened to your album for the States? Have they whopped other stuff on the end there?
I think there's one extra track on it that's not here on the Australian record, and that's mine?
We're not even that sure about it. Yeah. I think the good thing with this is that we had a record and we finished it, and we're really proud of the fact that it was all done here. It was done by Australians, you know. I mean, even our band is five kids from Brisbane, and it pretty much competes over there. And they, you know, they did try to remix a few things, and they sounded awful, to be honest.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they just went back to the original.
But ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And what about your family and friends? How do they treat you now? Do they treat you differently, and do they have comments on what you've done? You
know? They're not allowed to. We tell them they're not allowed to comment on anything that we do. No, they've been really supportive. From the word go, before any of this started happening, they've been right behind us and supportive. So they never lost faith in us, you know, being able to achieve what we've achieved. So they've been a bonus.
We have fantastic friends and family. I'd have to say that. They've been amazing.
Yeah. But when you come home, you've been on the news, you've been on some award show, you come in the door, there's your mum. What's the first thing she says?
What did you do to your hair?
I had one friend comment that I had the world's worst hairstyle on one program. That's about it. Generally, they keep the comments to themselves.
Oh, get in the queue behind Bill Kelty. I think he's wearing that crown.
I don't like it.
And that one. And what's coming up? Obviously, you've got all your time booked up for about the next 5 years, but what do you want to do? Have you got any nutty projects on the boil, something you want to pull out of the back pocket?
I think we want to take this album throughout the world and actually get it working in as many territories as we can. That'd be nice, you know. And then that will set up the opportunity to be able to do it again next time around. And that's another project that we'll be looking forward to working on.
So. I mean, in the short term, we're really getting into the live thing. It's great because, I mean, we met in live bands and we've been stuck in a studio for a couple of years, and so we're really getting off on the live thing.
And what sort of live show are you turning on? Is it Gina G style, a lot of dry ice, a lot of build-up, comes out, two songs, pisses off? Is it that kind of a deal?
You know what? It's the most lo-fi show you're going to see. It's pretty, you know, for a pop band, there's not much pyrotechnics
happening. This time round, we've kept production to the limits, and it's more about sort of energy and a little bit rock and rollish, but just the vibe of the show's there.
I mean, it's basically, you know, letting people work out that I can actually sing and he can actually play and that this is real. And you know what I mean? It's pretty simple. It's about songs.
Are you still encouraging the crowd to throw meat? Oh, sorry, that was Ozzy Osbourne. Sorry.
Darren's a vegetarian. He's probably just...
We were laughing because we were in Germany and everything was like, you know, would you like a meat thick shake? And everything, you know, everything was like, meat, would you like some meat with your meat? And even in the salad, they were hiding the meat under the salad. And I'm like, vegetarian? They're like, oh, we have sauerkraut for you.
So it must have been good to get back to Australia and say to Melbourne, where blokes carry meat in their hands when they're delivering it to the butcher shop.
You get a roadie, meat, bring you a handful of meat.
I want some meat.
Well, thanks for coming in and talking meat with us, gentlemen. And all the best of luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You ought to know, that's Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy. And what's the time?
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've accidentally showed up to an office party in fancy dress. Perhaps you've attempted all 27 verses of MacArthur Park at a karaoke night. Or maybe you're just Wigfield. What is... Bring forth the dicks.
We'll do that for one final time this week, Pete. And let's bring him in, shall we?
Yeah.
Well. Oh, he's been through so much, but he's still standing. It's Pete Smith. Yes, with the Christopher Reeve theme.
Yes, my chest is swelling with pride. When you say bring forth the dicks, it's really bring forth me, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah,
well,
I know what's coming.
Suggesting that for a moment. I'm just looking for dick-like behaviour in the papers, and, of course, there's a fantastic story from Melbourne. Grumpy driver sent to anger school. A grumpy old man who punched, slapped and pulled the hair of a pregnant woman in a road rage attack. Oh, there's a lot of this about, isn't it? Just pull over to the side of the road, people. He's been asked to take anger management classes. Now, it's not a particularly funny story.
No.
But, you know, often in stories like this, the excuse kind of is funny. And the excuse in this case is he had German tourists with them and he didn't want to let them down. Isn't that a beauty?
I expect to see a bit of hair pulling and punching, and he wasn't letting them go home empty-handed. Go back to Germany and badmouth a lot of us.
Don't go there.
You will do this.
Exactly. This is how we deal with things here, yeah? But, yes, so there's an example of a prize dick. But, Pete, while we're here, have you made... I mean, I know it doesn't happen often because you're always superbly manicured and presented.
If you had heard about this, you would have. It would have inspired the segment, I'm sure. A couple of weeks ago, I had to do a business luncheon in front of businessmen in a big ballroom in a city hotel.
Oh,
and the guest speaker speaking and singing was Jenny Morris.
Oh, yes.
And I had a biog on her details, and I was asked to get up as a favour to the guy who runs the thing and just introduce Jenny. And I was also, just at the last moment, before I got up, he said, now, say hello to the guy, you know, Bo from Bridgestone, I think it is. Have you heard of this guy?
No, Bo from Bridgestone? Bo Repair.
Bo from Bo Repair. Okay.
That would be it. Okay. I'm just off the top of my head.
No. Well,
I'm taking a stab in the dark.
That's great. I'd never heard of him and I'd never seen him, okay? So I'm with you, Tone. Not with you, Mick. So I get, and I'm sitting having lunch before I have to get up with this big guy, and we're having a bit of a chat, but I never found out what the hell. He said, oh, I used to work with Robert Tudorwali on Jeddah, and I thought, God, he can't be that old. Must have been in a pram. Anyway, so I didn't worry about who he was or what he was. I said to the guy, well, quickly, you want me to say hello to Bo from Burrapair? Where is he? And the guy says, oh, out there in the middle. Well, he wasn't. He was sitting next to me at the table. So up I get, and instead of saying Bo from Burrapair, I say, and ladies and gentlemen, will you please, a nice round of applause, stand up, please, Bo from Bridgestone. And it's Bo from, and the guy just sat there glaring at me, thinking I should have known better. No, there's a double dictum here. So I got so worked up, I looked down at my sheet and I said, oh, anyway, only joking. Now, here's Jenny Morris. She's a wonderful performer, you know. She's got gold records. She even worked with INXS. Double dictum.
Double dictum. And just out of interest, that guy, Bo Repairs, is Repairs his second name? What's the story there?
I don't know, but I'll tell you another another story where Bo made a bit of a dick of himself hitting on my girlfriend. I'm telling you, this is the truth. I've wanted it. I'm still, look. Oh, no. I can see our lawyers drafting another letter.
Oh.
But I can see it. No, I saw this with my own eyes. A very wobbly...
This big
Bo
guy.
On yeah. the arse end of about five wagons of whatever he's choosing to drink now, Bo repairs these days, staggered up to my girlfriend with his pants akimbo, asking her out on a date. I went to Bud in, he said, keep it out of a kid. Now you know who I am. I'm Bo!
So that's how you know who he was. No, I don't know who else knew who. I mean, Is it a famous
I think
character?
I'm guessing it's a true story because Mick actually got out of his chair. And you know it's a true story.
Well, that's
there.
Coincidence there that I mentioned.
Hello to Mr. Repairs if he's listening.
Yeah, Bo, don't take a bow.
Bo Repairs is a real guy. It's like that place Windscreens O'Brien. Mm. I always think that's like a guy.
Here he comes. It's me, old mate. Windscreens O'Brien. How you doing, Windscreens?
Anyway, thanks very much to Pete for joining us today. Thanks very much to Mr. Repairs. Thanks very much to Mick. Are we all silent?
Mm.
Okay, it's time for you to call up and tell us how you made a dick of yourself. That's how it works. We've got the Lost World pack, and you'll go into the draw for a trip for two to Hong Kong to attend the premiere of the Lost World and, of course, the post-premiere party. Oh, I didn't notice that before.
Mm, what?
Oh, you'll be able to hit on all manner of Hollywood celebrities in that circumstance.
Wow.
Have you ever had anything to do with Steven Spielberg, Pete?
No, I met somebody who met him once in the cemetery at Jerusalem where they went down in the last bit of that film, you know, Jurassic Park.
No.
The other one with the rocks in it.
Schindler's List?
Yeah, Schindler's List, you know. And the custom is, the Jewish custom is, you place a rock on the grave.
That's right.
And at the end of that movie, that beautiful, well...
Yes, the colour sequence.
Tragic,
at the
colour sequence.
Yep.
The real people who are portrayed in the film go arm in arm with the actors who portrayed them down the path in the cemetery to Schindler's grave.
That's right, it's a great scene.
I knew a gentleman and a lady who live in Melbourne who were actually in that camp.
Wow. We could name anybody and there'd be some kind of connection.
Well, I'm serious.
He would know. Oh, it's good. No.
Leo Rosner was his name, Mr. and Mrs. Rosner.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hello to the Rosners.
Yeah.
Mm. You haven't run into them, have you, Mickey?
No.
All right.
He plays a mean squeeze box.
Okay, call us now, people, and play a mean squeeze box. Whatever you've got, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Yes! That irritating behaviour means it's time to play prize dicks here at Martin Malloy. There's an extra bit of authority on the panel today. Pete Smith has jumped out of the booth. He's
no nonsense.
No, that's right. He's got his serious bow tie on. Who's made a dick of themselves? Mick Malloy.
Oh, let's ask Lucas if he can help us. Are you there, Lucas?
Yeah, I am.
That's the way. Champ, how have you made a dick of yourself lately?
Well, it wasn't lately. It was like about a year ago.
Oh, okay.
I was out on a farm and I just learned to ride the motorbike the day before.
Oh, yeah. What sort of bike are we talking?
Oh, just a Yamaha motorbike kind of thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Pretty
right.
Fine. Yep. Anyway, I was told to round up some sheep and send them over towards the northern paddock.
Mm.
And I got them moving and then they started to scatter everywhere.
Right.
And my uncle and dad were like, they were watching me from afar.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And, I eventually rounded them back up and then kept them, like, I gunned the bike because I thought it was going to be late.
Yeah.
Kept going in for 5-10 minutes, and eventually one just got down on its hands and knees and, well, died.
Oh, dear.
What?
It just went over on its back? Did it do that?
Oh, no, just on its hands and knees.
Oh, okay.
Why?
What, run them, yeah, run them out of gas kind of thing.
Oh, dear.
just conked it.
Yep.
And did you lose points for that?
Oh, no, not really. Well, they spread the story all over the town, and so I'm pretty embarrassed.
You picked up some money on the wool, though, kid, didn't you?
That's a great thing to do. I mean, you do that to all of them, then it'll be a piece of piss to round up. They'll leave a dead sheep lying around. You'll be doing circles all afternoon.
And then you just roll them all to where they're meant to be. And, Lucas, when you walk up the street, do the locals go, "There goes the sheep murderer"?
No, not yet, anyway.
Okay. Well, I suppose that's making a dick of yourself.
Get on, Lucas.
Okay, thanks,
like
Lucas.
It.
Next, Jeremy is with us. You there, Jeremy?
I am.
Okay, have you made a dick of yourself?
Again, not me. A friend of mine by the name of Sam.
Yep.
The story over in a pub in England, in London, in fact, a week before coming back to Australia, he was getting into a few drinks and popped over to the bar across the road. Ed managed to down 4 pints in his half an hour break and got back to his own bar. Bar got very busy and for some reason the other bar staff seemed to go somewhere else. Right. And as it turns out, after that many beers, the nature was screaming at him. And having nowhere to go, he ended up wetting himself behind the bar.
Oh, no. Now, what's the story? He doesn't like to have a drink in his own bar?
Not allowed to.
Oh, not allowed to.
Especially after doing that, I mean.
No. It's perfectly okay to wet your pants in your own bar, but if you want a drink, take it elsewhere.
But the most embarrassing thing was that the boss, whilst going off his head at him, promised not to tell anybody, and the next night, working behind the bar again, one of the regulars said, oh, excuse me, Sam, I need to go to the toilet. Do you mind if I just pop in behind the bar?
Yes, well, that's it. There's the answer. Get a urinal on the backside of the bar there. Drop a few cakes down and no one knows what you're doing.
Borrow his pants.
They couldn't see behind the steam anyway.
All right, that's making a dick of yourself. Thanks, Jeremy.
Crystal, are you there, Crystal?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, how old are you, Crystal?
12.
Oh, and have you, done as our previous callers have?
Yes.
What have you done?
Well, I do gymnastics.
Yep.
And I invited all my friends to come watch me in a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a split leap on the beam and I gave myself a big wedgie.
Yeah?
And it really hurt.
Oh, dear. And the friends' reaction?
Well, they're just laughing and...
But the judges scored you well. That'd be perfect. Tens. I remember Nadia Comaneci, I think it was. Which Olympics was it?
76, I think, Mick, was
giant
it?
Giant wedgie brought the house down. Yeah.
A fantastic pirouette and wedgie there from Comaneci. Okay, and have you been game to go back and, throw it in their faces and get it right again?
Scared to go back on the beam now.
Never goes near the beam again. Did you get up on the beam in your early days, Pete?
No, I didn't like any of that. Anybody in gym class who said they had a headache, we had this guy who actually said, oh, you got a headache, have you? Come over here. And he would take you, and how he didn't break kids' backs and necks, I don't know, and he would rick your neck.
Yeah.
And you would never complain that you had a headache again to get out of gym.
Wow.
Gee.
It was nasty stuff.
It's good to know.
That's why I come in on an odd angle when I'm introduced.
Yeah, often in the booth on sale, you can see he's got the neck brace happening to this very day. Have we got, finally, Jason, are you there?
Yep.
Jason, made a dick of yourself?
Oh, mate, in front of 2,000 people.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. What happened?
Oh, at the Boondall Entertainment Centre for the Seekers Revival Tour. Don't ask you why I went there, but I went there.
Yes.
And they're calling people up to help sing We Are Australia.
Oh, yep.
And they got me up, and I'm up there singing away, and I suddenly found myself doing a solo, and the correct words were, I've lived a farmer's life, and I blurt out, I'm a farmer's wife.
And 2,000 people laughing?
Oh, yeah, mate.
And what about Keith Potker? Did he get you in a headlock?
Well, Athol Guy, if looks could kill, I'm a dead man.
Well, that's pretty impressive, Jason, but is it our winner, Pete? You've got to choose Lucas with the sheep, the dead sheep, that is, Jeremy with the bar work, Crystal with the self-wedgie, Jason with the farmer's wife.
Well, I got to go for the guy who, well, the sheep who gave his life for dictum. He did the evil Knievel. Give it to Lucas.
All right. It was an impressive field, but we've got back to Lucas. Are you there, Lucas?
Yep.
We haven't got a dead sheep for you, but you've won the Lost World Pack.
Yeehaw.
And you've gone into the draw for that trip for two to Hong Kong. Ever been to Hong Kong?
No.
Oh, well, you get the motorbike ready. You could be going to the premiere. You'll be able to drive in, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme style. Up the red carpet and knock over the stars if you come out of the barrel 2 weeks from today. Thanks for taking part.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone who made a dick of themselves, Pete. Back in your booth.
Willingly.
All right. Well, I think we've got another week of prize dicks from Monday here at Martin Malloy. We keep her hanging on. It's pretty much time for us to sign off for another week here at Martin Malloy. And what a big week it's been, those British elections.
Oy.
They're all over. And I think at the end of the day, Tony Blair just had the sillier voice. I mean, that's what it came down to.
I think so.
I think that's what it was all about.
The cheesier smile.
Absolutely. We'll just remind you about the Fast Show.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect the greatest comedy show of all time.
Yeah, it's just...
good viewing.
It's just a top view on SBS 8:30 Saturday night, tomorrow night.
Can I say, go Tigers, go Tigers, go Tigers?
Oh, I don't think there's time for that, Mick.
All right.
But we've got the comedy incinerator. Oh, you remember how that works?
Oh, I have a vague recollection.
All the really feeble gags we somehow didn't squeeze into the show, we pack them into the comedy incinerator and get them out of our system once and for all. Start the clock, Gracie. And, Mick, if you could kick things off.
Sure. Burger giant McDonald's was fined $2,000 in London this week after a mother discovered her crying son chewing on wire found in his French fries. A short time later, she was further outraged to find her car had been stolen by another patron who'd managed to pick her lock with a chicken McNugget.
There was momentary excitement in the music world this week when Michael Jackson announced he was reforming the Jackson 5 for a one-off appearance at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The King of Pop later explained he was referring to five of his original facial features, which will be dusted off and reunited for the first time in 16 years.
Dear, oh dear. Look out. The mansion where 39 Heaven's Gate cult members killed themselves has been taken off the market. Many potential buyers for the property were scared off after hearing how the previous owners did their balls on it.
And speaking of which, the people of Iraq, or as Saddam Hussein calls them, the Great Unshot, were this week wisely celebrating the dictator's 60th birthday. As the cake was presented, the gun-toting Saddam lit the candles and blew out his son Uday's remaining testicle. Pete, the tank's empty. Can you get us out of trouble? Anything to contribute?
I have, certainly. It was announced today that before long there would be a female Prime Minister of Australia. Speaking in Canberra, Mr. John Howard agreed. Mr. Howard was wearing an ankle-length dress with a matching hat and platform shoes.
You've got the hang of this segment remarkably quickly, Pete. That's fantastic.
Made us look foolish, Pete. Send them south, Gracie, please.
We'd like to thank our guests today, Darren and Daniel from Savage Garden, Pete Smith, the man in the glass booth, of course, all our gladiators and prize decks. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie.
On you, Gracie!
Our assistant, Sancia.
On you, Sans.
Making those sketches, the alarmingly talented Vicky Marr.
I love you, Vicky.
And, of course, all the button pushers right around the network grid.
Who know who they are.
And, of course, we will be joined on Monday by Jane Kennedy. See you then, people. And just before we go...